Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're listening to Wyndham Community Chapel's service of April 25th, 2021. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes with us today. My prayer, as always, as we gather together through this podcast, is that as you meet with God, that this service will be a blessing to you, that as we open God's Word, He will open your ears and your eyes and your heart and draw it to Himself, that you might see Christ more clearly and hear His spoken word, His words to you more definitely, that your life will be transformed because of the time that we spend together in worship and in His Word. I continue to encourage you to come out to our worship service. We gather together on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock here at in Dummerston, and you're all welcome to come. And as more and more people are becoming vaccinated, and as we anticipate things loosening up in the days ahead, now is the time for folks to begin to regather again safely and in the presence of God with our fellow believers. Well, this morning, Psalm 9 calls us into worship. There the word of the Lord says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, fill us with your love today as we gather together. In this time we spend together with you and your people, would you fill our hearts with joy and our mouths with praise? Help us to remember all your goodness to us. You have forgiven our sins. You have rescued us from death. You have crowned us with love and tender mercies. In your presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit, renew our strength and refresh our souls. Receive our praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I just want to share a few reminders with you this morning. Don't forget our ladies' Bible study that meets on Tuesday mornings here at 9:30. Ladies, you're all welcome to come. Men's Bible study is on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock here at the church building. Men, you're welcome to come. Next week, we're going to begin a new sermon series from the book of 1 Corinthians. It's entitled, "Awake But Asleep." In 1 Corinthians, we discover that Corinth was a strategic location. It was a thriving city. It had passionate people. But the church itself was compromised. The church at Corinth had unlimited potential, but was morally asleep. The people were full of rebellion, internal conflict, and sexual immorality. And the Apostle Paul, who had planted this church just 5 years prior to this letter, brings reproof to them. He brings rebuke to them. But he also brings hope and a desire to restore unity to this fractured congregation. We're going to spend 21 weeks together in 1 Corinthians. And it's my hope and prayer that this will help you to make sure that you're not sleepwalking in your relationship with God and with our church family relationships. Come next week as we begin 1 Corinthians. Well, we're looking for some church cleaners. We're looking for volunteers to serve through cleaning the church on a weekly basis. If you're interested either in cleaning it every week or just once a month or periodically, please contact Dan Unwin, who is our deacon chairman. Well, spring is, I know the weather has been up and down, but spring is here in Vermont, and we're ready to do some cleanup here at the church. And so we've scheduled Saturday, March 8th at 8 o'clock, and we're inviting you to check out. There's a list of activities, of things that need to be cleaned, things that need to be fixed. We're encouraging everyone to bring their tools, and you can come and either sign up for those things or just come on that Saturday and join us March 8th, Saturday, beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning. Also, Branch's Pregnancy Resource Center is hosting a fundraising golf tournament on Friday, June 18th at the Brattleboro Country Club. For you golfers out there, watch for information on how to register for this first-time event next week. Again, Friday, June 18th at the Brattleboro Country Club, Branch's Pregnancy Resource Center fundraising golf tournament. And then the last thing I want to call your attention to is this summer we're going to have an outreach ministry. Each Sunday night during the month of June at the Brattleboro Common, a worship and testimony event called Celebrate will occur. We will be gathering together with our fellow believers to worship our great God, to hear a testimony of how God rescued someone from their sins, and then a brief presentation of the gospel. We're joining together with the other churches in the Brattleboro area outreach for this event, and we want to encourage everyone to join us 1 week or each week, because each week will be just a little bit different. Well, this morning we want to come before God and bring before Him our concerns, our needs, but also to worship Him and thank Him for who He is. Would you join me as we pray together? Almighty God, thank You for inviting us into Your presence today. Thank You that in Jesus' name we can freely and boldly come before You as Your adopted children. For we recognize that in our own merit that we have done nothing that would allow us into Your presence. Our best works are as filthy rags in Your sight. Our best efforts fall far short of Your purity and holiness. It is only through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is ours through saving faith in Him, that we dare come before You, anticipating that not only do You hear our prayers, but You answer them. For You are a God who never fails to keep Your promises to Your children. You are a God with unending grace and unlimited mercy. You are the God who lifts up those who are burdened and struggling. And so, Father, for those who are experiencing illness or loneliness or financial hardship or broken relationship, I pray, Father, that they will look to You, that they will look into Your Word for wisdom and direction. I pray, Father, that they will lean upon You and they will be led by the Holy Spirit, that they will discover Your will as they trust in You. And Father, help them not to lean in their own understanding to fix and figure out these problems. But Father, help them to look to You. And so this morning, Father, we think of Justin Slade and we ask for Your continued healing touch on his life. Restore his strength and lung function. Give him endurance through this physical challenge. Give him peace in the midst of this trial. We also think of Josh Unruh, who is recovering from successful herniated disc surgery. Father, give him a quick and full recovery. Minister to his needs as he recovers and heal his body. Lord, we know that You don't waste anything that happens in our lives. In Your providence, You use all things for our good and for Your glory. So, Father, help us to pursue after that. Help us to discover it. And then, Father, help us to embrace it and learn from it. Help us to use this time wisely for Your kingdom, particularly in these days. Give us the desire to reach out to those in need in our community with acts of kindness and love, motivated by our compassion for them and our love for You. Help us to live Christ well in front of them. Help us to share Christ boldly with them. Help us to trust You fully for the results of our efforts. And now, Lord, as we open Your Word, I ask that You draw our hearts to Yours. I ask, Father, that You open our spiritual eyes to see Your truths for our lives, give us wisdom and discernment through the work of your Holy Spirit, that we might discover how to apply it to our lives today and in the days ahead. Most of all, Father, would you draw our hearts, give us a desire to follow your will and not your own as we hear from you this morning. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 134. This message is entitled, We're There. We began this journey on January 3rd with Psalm 120 and its theme of repentance, a turning away from the world and a turning toward God. It was an invitation to people at a crossroads in their life to make a decision to join others on a faith journey to God. Well, today we end our 15-week journey. Just as the Hebrew pilgrims ended their journey in Jerusalem. We're there. We made it. For at the end of our journey of faith is God, and there we enjoy Him forever. The Psalms of Ascent were first sung by Jewish pilgrims as they traveled to Jerusalem three times a year to celebrate the great Hebrew feasts. This journey, which was often long and difficult, symbolized our journey of faith to God today. They, like us, recognize that being a disciple of Jesus is a long obedience in the same direction, leading us to God. These psalms, sung in sequence, day after day on their journey, reminded them of the great truths of God. All of them served to prepare them for the grand finale, arriving in Jerusalem and gathering together with brothers and sisters in the Lord and worshiping God. Today we're there, the conclusion of this series of sermons. But for Jewish people, they had arrived in Jerusalem, their destination. Everything in their lives had pointed to this day, to this destination. This has consumed their lives for weeks, even months, and it was in sight. All the hard work to get ready, and then the difficult journey to get there, was over. I wonder if they were anxious over what they would find once they got to Jerusalem. Often in our lives, when we arrive at a long, sought-after pursuit, we're disappointed. Sometimes we've dreamed and immortalized the achievement for so long that it couldn't possibly live up to our imagination. Sometimes what we hoped for and planned for turned out to be far different than we had imagined. Sometimes we're just exhausted from the pursuit that we don't have the emotional energy left to enjoy the object of our pursuit. Chuck Colson once wrote, "Being part of electing a president was the fondest ambition of my life. For 3 long years, I had committed everything I had, every ounce of energy, to Richard Nixon's cause. Nothing else mattered. We had had no time together as a family, no social life, and no vacations. And then, having his hands on what he set out for, he found he couldn't enjoy it." Well, over the last 14 weeks, we have been confronted with the reality that this journey of faith has certain difficulties associated with it. We have affirmed both by the truth of God's word and our own life experiences that this journey is sometimes hard and the road we travel has some landmines on it. It also has many exciting and fulfilling experiences with a certain knowledge of God's presence and help in these times of trouble. It is anything but dull and mundane. But what happens at the end of our journey of faith? What takes place when we finally arrive? Will we be disappointed? Our text, Psalm 134, gives us the answer. Follow along as I read for us. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Well, it's not hard to find the key word and controlling thought in this song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. There are two words which are translated blessed in our Bibles. The first word, translated bless, describes the well-being that comes when we are living in tune with God and our surroundings. It is the sense of contentment that comes when everything is right in your world. It is what Psalm 1 announces and Psalm 128 describes. It is what we experience when God blesses us, and it is only used when referring to people, never of God. Well, the other word for blessed describes what God does to us and among us. He enters into covenant with us. He pours out his life for us. He shares the goodness of his spirit, the vitality of his creation, and the joys of his redemption. He empties himself among us, and we get what he is. And this is the word used in our text. God gets down on his knees among us. He gets on our level and shares himself with us. He does not stand afar off or send us an email. He lives right among us. God shares himself generously and graciously with his children who walk the path of faith. A commentator said this about God's blessing. Whichever form the blessing takes, it implies an exchange of the contents of the soul. You see, God enters into our need. He anticipates our goals. He gets under our skin and understands us better than we do ourselves. Everything that we read in Scripture about God indicates that he knows us intimately and fully. He knows exactly what it's like to be you. Recently, I read excerpts from a book about God entitled, The God Who Stands, Stoops, and Stays, that summarizes the posture of God's blessing this way. God stands. He is foundational and dependable. God stoops. He kneels to our level and meets us where we are. God stays. He sticks with us through the hard times and good, sharing his life with us in grace and peace. And because God blesses us, we bless God. And because God has blessed us, we bless others. To those people who have traveled the way of faith, who have experienced the ways of God's blessing and grace in all kinds of weather and over every kind of terrain, they become good at blessing. You know, every act of worship ends with a benediction, which is a call and a pronouncement of God's blessing. Psalm 134 features the word in the form of what might be called an invitational command. Come, bless the Lord. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. The first people to sing this psalm had been traveling literally the roads that led to Jerusalem. Now they had arrived and were at the temple to worship God in celebration. Essentially, the invitation was, come, bless the Lord. All they had anticipated, all the struggles to get there, all they had left behind, all that it had cost them, all this melted away because they had arrived in Jerusalem. The psalmist invites them to hold nothing back and come into the presence of God and worship Him. Regardless of what had transpired on the journey, you're here now, and it's time to bless the Lord. Well, not only was the sentence an invitation, but it is also a command. It is an imperative. Now that you've arrived in Jerusalem, do what you came for. The reason for this long journey was not so you could go shopping in the Jerusalem fish markets or visit with friends you haven't seen since the last festival. It was to worship the Lord. So, worship the Lord. All else pales in comparison to this great opportunity and this direct command of God to His people. For after all, it is what we were created to do. Lift your voices in gratitude. Quiet your hearts to hear God's quiet voice speak to you. Enter the community of praise and prayer that anticipates God's presence now and anticipates His soon return for His faithful children. Then, as now, worship of God is a command from a holy Father to His redeemed children. It is in worship that all our differences melt away as we agree that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are one. We agree that salvation is only found in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that unity is in Christ, and we lay everything else aside and worship the God of our salvation. This is the command of God to His children. And this worship is to be done both in private and in public, according to our text. In verse 1, the psalmist calls all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord to worship God. You know, worship in the temple at Jerusalem happened 24/7. It wasn't all open to the public. It wasn't the people who worshiped after midnight. It was the priests. You may recall passages from scriptures that talk about the temple watch. And this was the time after midnight when the priests prepared for the next day's worship in private. It went something like this. After midnight, the chief priest over the gatekeepers took the keys to the inner temple court and went with some priests through the fire gate. In this inner court, the company of priests divided into two groups. Carrying torches, one group turned west, the other east, as they checked the temple court for its readiness for the service at dawn. They would pass the baker's chamber and smell the bread being baked for the morning worship. The cry, "All is well," was answered in kind. They went past the stone chamber in silence, where a judge and a priest stood before a bunch of priests assembled in their festive garments, awaiting the casting of lots to determine their duty for the next day. These priests and Levites, whose worship was done in private, out of sight, and after midnight, were commanded to worship God, to bless His name forever and ever. And it reminds us that worship of God is not just when we come together each Sunday morning, but ought to take place 24/7 in our lives. In the quietness of your soul, in the solitude of your mind, in the hidden recesses of your life, we are commanded to bless the Lord and worship Him. I wonder, when no one else is watching, are you likely to worship God? Are you driven to express gratitude to a God who loves you with an everlasting love? Are you compelled to spend time alone with God privately, expressing your praise of what a wonderful God He is? This is God's invitation and command to you. But not just in private. In verse 2, we are commanded to worship God in public with these words: lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Throughout history, a place has been set aside for the worship of God. The tabernacle, the temple, and the church come to mind. The sanctuary describes an intimate or holy place within such structures. For instance, in the tabernacle, it was the Holy of Holies. In the temple, it was the inner court. And in the church today, it is the place where God's people gather together to worship Him. In the tabernacle and even in the temple, it was the place where God personally met with people. It was in these locations that the presence of God with His people occurred. It was also a place of purification. Heaven forbid you would enter these places with sin in your life. In fact, in the tabernacle, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year to atone for the sins of the people. And before he entered, they tied a rope around his ankle just in case God struck him dead because of sin in his life. And they had to have a way to remove his body without anyone else dying. I wonder if that were true today. How many of us would be here this morning? Though some people refer to this part of the church building that we worship in as the sanctuary, it is really just the place in the building where we gather to worship God. You see, since the Holy Spirit came, things have changed. The Bible tells us that we are the dwelling place of God, that His presence rests in His children and not in a place. To those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation, God takes up residence in your life. You are the sanctuary of God, holy and set apart, precious in the sight of God. In Jerusalem, the sanctuary was located in the inner court and was where the people of God gathered for public worship. Here we are commanded to lift up holy hands and bless the Lord. You know, posture has always played an essential part in worship. It is a way of expressing worship, just like our words do. In the military, when a superior officer enters a room, everyone jumps to their feet at attention. When the king or queen of a country enters a room, people immediately are silent and bow in respect. When we hold a door open for a lady, or when we wait to eat our pie until everyone has been served, we are showing respect and honor. Posture and corresponding actions, in many ways, speak louder than words. That is also true in our worship of God. Lifting hands to God has always been a part of people's posture when they worship. The Psalms are full of reference to people kneeling before God, falling prostrate in His presence, and lifting holy hands in worship in adoration. They indicate the heart attitude of the worshiper. They express praise and adoration that words just can't capture. They acknowledge humility before a perfect and awesome God whose presence we are unworthy to be in. I'm not sure you can adequately express these heart responses to God in any other way. So, why don't we do it? I've attended some live sporting events in my life. One of my favorites was going to a Philadelphia Flyers hockey game with my son-in-law. They played the Toronto Maple Leafs and beat them 3-1. The action was fast and furious with two fights mixed in. I can assure you that I spent as much of the night on my feet as I did in my seat. Now, I'm a fairly reserved and conservative person by nature, yet I had no trouble yelling, clapping, or even shaking my fists during a hockey game that was just a meaningless hockey game. I looked around during the game and observed wild and crazy people all around me. After all, it was in Philly. One guy from the upper deck danced on the big jumbotron during each extended break for TV timeout. He was rather large and out of shape. Trust me, it wasn't a pretty sight. But my point is this. We have no trouble expressing ourselves at sporting events, no matter how reserved or private we are by nature. Why don't we do it when we worship God? The thing that we've been created for by God who saved us from hell, why are we holding back? Raising hands in worship is an unspoken sign of respect, of honor, of humility before a holy and sovereign God. It is a posture of our souls expressed through our hands. It overcomes what people might think with a greater concern over what God may think. It acknowledges that God is our King and I am His servant and expresses worthy adoration to the Savior of my life and the lover of my soul. You know, sometimes my hands seem to raise by themselves without any conscious thought on my part. It's as though I can't stop them. It is worship of God without holding anything back, not my pride or what someone else may think. It indicates a person who has surrendered fully to God and holds nothing back in expressing worship to a worthy God. When we gather for public worship as a church family, we must be careful not to hold anything back. If you are moved to kneel, don't stay in your seat. Kneel. If words fail to express your heart, raise your hands in honor and praise. If words get in the way of worship, remain silent while everyone else is singing around you. If God speaks to your heart and you need to respond, walk to the front, whether I invite you to or not, and let someone pray with you. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." Posture in worship is an essential component if we are to be obedient to the command of God to worship Him. For blessing is at the end of the road. Blessing God forever and being blessed by God. And that which takes place at the end of our journey of faith influences everything that takes place on the journey. The end shapes the means. And in the end of the Psalms of Ascent is a benediction. May the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Many of you know that the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what is the final purpose? What is the main thing about us? Where are we going and what will we do when we get there? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify, enjoy, not work or even witnessing, not preaching or teaching. The main thing is worshiping the Lord, to sit in His presence and bask in His glory and majesty. Notice that the source of this benediction or this blessing is the Lord God Jehovah. When God blesses us, He holds nothing back. He blesses us with all He has and all that is within Him. This blessing comes in the presence of all heaven and earth. The God who created everything that we see, and even the things we have not yet seen, is the source of the blessing. It is God whose blessing we seek and need. Well, a writer summarized the benediction of the Psalms of Ascent this way, and I want to close this sermon with it. The Lord keep you. The Lord be your shepherd. The Lord restore your soul while your spirit wanders. The Lord keep you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord hold up your goings in His paths, that your footsteps slip not. The Lord be your light and your salvation. God be your refuge and strength, your ever-present help in times of trouble. May the morning follow the night, and the night be driven away by the lifting up of the light of the countenance of the loving God. The Lord give you peace, well-being, health in the soul, comfort in the heart, rest, joy, and quietness in your spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for speaking to us through the Psalms of Ascent. Thank You for giving us guidance on our journey of faith. Thank You for providing everything we need for our faith to grow and our lives to be transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is for us to be able to worship You. What a joy it is to be able to know that at the end of our journey here on earth is You for all eternity. Renew our desire for You to greater heights than we've known before. Receive the praise of Your people in greater intensity than our past attempts. Receive glory from our lives until we see You face to face. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's benediction comes from Jesus' words to us just before leaving this world and joining His Father, rejoining His Father in heaven. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." May the Lord bless you and give you a good week.